Amen. I definitely have a burden for tonight. It's a heavy burden. It first came as a conviction to myself, so just know when I'm preaching to myself too. Not just y'all. But I feel like God wants to do something in a mighty way here tonight. But I feel like he wants to minister to each and every single individual, not just one person. Maybe there is someone who needs it more than someone else, but I feel like this is something we all can get for ourselves. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 2. And to kind of go along with what Pastor said on the politics angles, this, I believe there's a song that says as well, like, this old world's not getting better, just keeps on getting worse. And the verse we're going to read is talking about a place called Ephesus in the Bible. And Ephesus was no shy to its share of evil things, of evil doings. There was in Acts chapter 19, it talks about how there was exorcist in Ephesus and how they had to overcome these evildoers. There was a merchant, I believe they called his name Demetrius, who was, they said, a seller of silver, but he formed these pieces of silver in the shape of a goddess Diana. And it said, even to the point where they were getting mad at how much Christianity and everything was taken over in that day and age, to where he started, if you could put it, a revolt. And he started going about and saying, hey, if we let it, these Christians are going to take over Ephesus. We are those who serve the goddess Diana. We cannot let this happen. And they formed, I guess you could say, a big old posse where they all chanted for 2 hours straight, great is the goddess of Diana. Great is the goddess Diana, for 2 hours, trying to make a point that, hey, our God is Diana. Our God is Diana. Yet you can continue on in the book of Acts, and they still had revival in Ephesus. Revival still went on. God was king in Ephesus. Amen. But we see Ephesus is written to Ephesus. Yeah, that's a mouthful. But they are written to once again in Revelation 2 and chapter 1 in just a slight different tone of voice. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter number 2, and it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. A quick side note, if you go to Revelation 1, I believe verse 20, it lets you know just what are the stars, what are the candlesticks. The stars, I'll let you know quick, but the stars are in essence the preachers, the pastors, and the candlesticks are the churches. And so the stars are the pastors of the candlesticks. And so he's saying, write, you know, to him. And it says, let's go to verse number 2, and it says, and I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And you don't have to turn there, but I'm gonna go over to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, this is the Lord speaking, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to me with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. Quick little side note, it's as if he's blaming God. Hey, you created her for me, and she did this. So in essence, it's kind of her and your fault. I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, and what is this that thou hast done? And I'm going to stop right there. What is this that thou hast done? And one quick side verse, John 21:17, it says, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Amen, amen. For a short little period of time here tonight, I just want to preach, do you love him? Do you love him? Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and worship the Lord tonight. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. You can probably tell tonight's going to go a little different. It's not going to be as up and gung-ho as a normal Sunday night, but I feel more than anything, God just wants to get down and minister to us, maybe make us question some things at the end of this and reevaluate our relationship with him. Amen. And I want to start off by clarifying I am no relationship expert. I'm younger than probably most here and probably have been in a relationship the least than most of y'all married couples here. But there are some basic principles that I believe you can agree upon in every relationship. And some of these I even pulled and remembered from when Pastor spoke to my wife and I at our wedding on the day of our wedding. But a relationship, one thing that I clearly remember him saying over and over is relationship is not 50-50. It's you don't give 50% of what you got and the other one gives 50% of what they got to combine for 100. But a relationship is 100-100. You've got to give everything you've got and they have to give everything that they have to make a successful relationship, to make it worthwhile. I believe doing this also shows the other person just how much you really love them. If you put 100% in, they're going to know, hey, this person cares about me. And you could fill in the blanks of whatever relationship you want. There's, you know, a spouse, you can be married in a relationship. You could have a best friend. There's a relationship between you and your parents, your siblings. You fill in the blank. There are relationships. There are those who have terrible relationships with their parents, terrible relationships with their siblings, unfortunately, absolute terrible relationships with their spouses. And it's just because there's lack of commitment. There's a disconnect somewhere. Somewhere, something happened. Somebody probably more than likely was not giving 100%. 100%. Amen. But the Bible even talks about marriage in Ephesians chapter number 5. And the reason I kind of want to pull, and I promise y'all I'm not about to preach about marriage, but I wanted to pull from Ephesians, especially because we're talking about Ephesus, because this, Paul is writing to the people in Ephesus. He is writing to the Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And skip to verse number 28, and it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. This is what true love is about. This is a true commitment in a relationship to where the man would even give himself for his wife. But then we can easily just lead this right over into the best example, and this is God himself, to where he even gave himself for us. He became the ultimate sacrifice and died for our sins. Bible says that in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's just that first sentence, for God so loved the world. There was love, such a deep, deep love, that he was willing to come down to the earth and give himself. In Luke 22, 42, this ain't in my notes, but you can see God just agonizing in prayer and saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. This is right before he's getting ready to be crucified. And the flesh is saying, no, no. But the spirit was still willing. God wanted to give himself because he loved you and I. Each and every single one of us, there was a love. Amen, amen. All throughout time, we can look and see that God really just desired relationship with mankind. Even still today with you and me, he desires and longs for relationship. And in Genesis, we see God came in the cool of the day. I don't believe that this was the only time this had happened. I believe this had happened time after time after time again, where God was working and establishing a relationship with Adam and Eve. And we can also go to multiple people. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And the next one, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. I do not believe if Noah had a subpar relationship that he would have found grace in the eyes of God. But it's because Noah walked with God that God had grace. And Noah found favor with the Lord. And he and his family was saved from the flood. Amen, amen. You can go to Hebrews 11 and 17. And Noah made it to Faith's Hall of Fame. And it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I know I jumped to Abraham, but Noah is also mentioned in Hebrews 11. But here we see Abraham. Abraham was challenged by God. Offer up your only son. The only son you waited 100 years for. Offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham, with the faith he had, it only shows to me that he had a relationship in God. He had faith. He had that trust in God. That God, I don't care what happens. You gave this boy to me. And I believe it's your will, whatever happens. I have that much trust in you. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. That is a relationship. Even to the point where he felt that if he were to kill Isaac, that God would even raise him from the dead from sacrificing his own son. Abraham even has a title that no one else in the Bible earned. And in James 2 and 23, and it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. No one else was called the friend of God but Abraham. And I believe it's because Abraham walked with God. There was a relationship established. My favorite one to talk about is Enoch. Enoch was a very unique individual. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 5, it talks about how Enoch walked with God 300 years. It doesn't say like all the others, and so-and-so walked with God and moved on, you know, and begat so-and-so, but it specifically says, and Enoch walked with God for 300 years. I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 22. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It states something in that I find pretty unique. And it says, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God 300 years after the birth of Methuselah, and had other sons and daughters. So all of the days were 365 years. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And verse number 24, and it says, and in reverent fear and obedience, Enoch walked with God, and he was not found among men. And this is what I find so interesting, because God took him away to be home with him. That's a capital H, that God took him away to be home with God himself. That's another kind of relationship. That touched my heart. God loved Enoch so much, and Enoch loved God back so much that God didn't even let Enoch live his full life. He took him straight from earth where no man found him, just to bring Enoch home to him. Amen. Can we love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In Hebrews 11, we're back to the faith chapter. And it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, but God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. And I find it interesting, the verse right after says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. There was something different about Enoch's relationship. And it was by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. All of these men had great and exceeding faith. They had a relationship built with God, where God did something that nobody else experienced but these three men. And it was by faith. I want to know, do you have faith here tonight? Do you have this kind of faith? Do you have a relationship with God that no matter where he takes you, no matter the road that you are faced to walk, that you've got faith in him that you can make it through it? Oh, nobody promised that living for God was going to be easy. Nobody ever said that it was going to be a cakewalk when you got the Holy Ghost. There are trials. There are trials that you are going to face. We heard it preached this morning. But God, if you have a relationship and your faith in him, he will bring you through it all okay. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Amen, 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 amen. Matthew 19 and 26. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, but with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Amen. I just want to reemphasize that if you need a healing, if there's a trial in your walk with God that you can't overcome, all you've got to do is have a little faith. All you've got to do is make sure your relationship is right with God, because he'll hold your hand all the way. Amen. We see relationship desired in the first part of our text. In Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve, we know the story. They're in the garden, and Eve is tempted of the serpent, and she takes of the fruit. But there's my first cue. There's my first cue that Eve doesn't even question who the serpent is. But it is almost as if you're reading it that she is comfortable with the serpent. As if there is another relationship. Now, this is my imagination that I'm going, but to me, this is This is normal human nature. If some random person comes talk to me, I'm going to question who they are. But in it, we don't even see Eve questioning. Singly, there is a relationship already formed between man and the serpent. Whether Adam had the same relationship or not, I don't know. But I can tell you that there was a relationship building up between Eve and the serpent. That somehow it meant more to Eve to do what the serpent said than what God said himself. And from that point forward, the relationship between God and man was severed. The relationship between the natural and the supernatural, there was a disconnection. Man severed the relationship with God. Amen. God did not want Adam to be alone. He didn't want Eve to be alone. God just desired relationship. And in Genesis chapter 3 and 13, and it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done?" And I can see God just looking at her, maybe even with hurt in his face, maybe hurt in his eyes, and just say, "What is this that thou hast done? All I ever wanted was a relationship with y'all. I gave you everything. This is the garden. All you were supposed to do is upkeep it. There was only one tree that you didn't have to eat of. Otherwise else, this was utopia. This was exactly what you wanted. And yet you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. What is this that you've done? What is this you've done?" I believe it pained God to have to kick me out. There's such pain when a relationship is broken, when a relationship is severed, because it's never, ever going to be the same again. Adam and Eve can no longer eat of the tree of life. They're put out. They're going to die sometime in the future, all because of a relationship that was severed. Amen. Amen. We can even go to the next one, to the next part of our text. Amen. Amen. We can talk how Peter was denying the Lord three times. That, and I'm kind of getting it back and forth, but Peter denied the Lord three times. And some even say that this was why God questioned him three times. "Do you love me?" Trying to make a point. "Hey, Peter, you denied me in the past three times. And I really want to know, do you love me? Do you really love me, Peter? Lord, thou know that I love you. Peter, do you love me?" And three times he asked him this question. "Do you love me?" He even asked, "Do you love me more than those?" We know Peter was a fisherman and he was working at that time. We say, "Peter, do you even love me more than your occupation? Peter, do you love me more than your job? Why, Peter, can't you just establish your relationship with me?" Amen, amen. And I believe God's come to do that here tonight. God's come to do that here tonight. He's asking, do we really have a relationship with him? Or are you just an acquaintance with God? Or is it a relationship built with him? Oh, can we worship him right now? Can we love him? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, in Jesus' name. And we can come to the last part of our text where we were talking about Ephesus. And this is the part that really smote me, is Ephesus. They had everything right. And that's kind of why I gave the background on how Ephesus was. It was not easy. There was a lot of hardship. It took a lot to live for God in Ephesus. And I believe that they focused so much on having to go against what was outside, that's why they left their first love. Their first love. They left it. It no longer meant everything to them. They were so focused on what was going on. They were focused on proving people wrong. They were focused on their jobs. It even came to the point where God even asked them, "Can you remember from whence you have fallen? Can you remember where I have brought you from? That's all I ask, is remember where I brought you from. Repent and turn back, or else I'm going to take the church completely away. It doesn't even seem that serious until you get to that part. You're like, well, all they need to do is just get the spirit part back. Yeah, but it meant a little bit more to God, because he said, I'm going to remove the candlestick from him. I'm going to completely remove it. God longs for that relationship with his people. He longs for that relationship with his people. Amen. If we can all stand and bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God. As we're all praying, I'm just going to ask you some questions to think about. And I believe these are questions that the Lord gave me. It's for myself. Like I said, it's for myself just as much as every single one of y'all. And I just simply want to ask, do you remember where God brought you from? Do you personally remember the road that you were walking? And do you remember where he brought you from? But yet you've forgotten about your first love. You forgot where he brought you from. And when was the last time you even told God, God, I love you from the bottom of your heart? You're just an acquaintance. It's not a relationship. It's not a relationship. Do you remember the miracles that God has done for you? Do you remember everything that he's done for you? If you have and you're still struggling, it's not a relationship, but it's an acquaintance. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God. There's a question that was brought to my mind. Brother Wadislawski preached it. And it says, who in their right mind would work a job where they have to miss church if it's their choice? If you have the decision to miss church and go to work, he said, who in their right mind would do it? Church has got to mean more than your job. Church has got to mean more than your relationship. Church has got to mean more than everything to you, or God's just an acquaintance and it's not a real relationship. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All these altars are open if you want to come check your relationship with God. I ask you, don't do it because I said. Don't do it because it's what you have to, or otherwise else it's just me asking. You don't really care about your relationship if you do it for me. But somewhere or another, you've got to work on it yourself and get a relationship with God. That's it. Let's realign our relationship with God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to know, do you only think about church 2 hours before it's church time? Oh, that's right. We got to get ready for church and go to church. Or is this something that's on your mind because it really means something to you? Is it something that's in your heart because you have a relationship with God? Oh, Jesus, Jesus.